It's time for Discover Your Empowered Woman with your host, Laura Oldacre, on 1030 The Voice.
Welcome to a new episode of Discover Your Empowered Woman, a show where we learn from successful women about life, health, motherhood, career, wealth, business, and so many more things. I'm your host, Laura Oldacre. I'm so glad that you're joining us today. And boy, do we have a treat for you. Our special guest today has such a wealth of wisdom to share with the world. I know that you're going to be so excited to hear from her and that you're going to learn from her as much as I have in the last few years that I've known her. But first, I want to share with you what our goal is at Discover Your Empowered Woman. Our goal is to provide resources, techniques, tips, and you know, other ideas so that we can reach that holy grail that we're all looking for of women's empowerment, which refers to the ability for women to exercise the right to control and to enjoy their own assets, their own abilities. That could include income, making a decent income, having your own career, managing your own time, your own physical being, your own emotional being, your choosing your family status, and as well as the ability to manage risk, seek, obtain wealth, and improve our economic status and well-being. That's right. We are on this amazing empowerment journey to get there. And you've chosen to listen today. You've chosen to be here today. So I know that that's what you're seeking as well. So I want, before we go, we introduce our guest, I want to thank our sponsor, Academy for Caregiving Excellence, for giving us the opportunity to share with you the stories of these amazing women and learn from their experiences. For information on Academy for Caregiving Excellence and our healthcare courses that we offer, please visit our website, academyforcaregiving.com. So without further ado, I would like to welcome our guest today, Elaysha Abate. Elaysha is an entrepreneur. She's a future forward strategist. She is the creator of The Future of Now and Mosaic Career. She partners with huge organizations and little organizations such as mine. She has made such an impact in the world. She is a sought-after speaker and facilitator with such a dynamic and engaging style. She has had so many experiences on creating and breaking down ideas and recreating them again. And she supports a lot of businesses. She is an amazing mentor. She has been featured in work with Tony Robbins and Trevor Noah. She's been published in or featured in publications like Forbes, Fast Company. She is an instructor in the continuing studies departments in both Stanford University and University of Toronto. She has received both her BA and MBA from the University of Chicago. But most importantly, she is a citizen of the world, and she is such a giver to people around her. Welcome to Discover Your Empowered Woman, Elaysha Abate. Welcome, Elaysha.
Thank you, Laura. I am so thrilled to be here with you after such a kind introduction. And this feels like one of many culminating moments in our path together. So thanks for having me.
Yes, I agree. And I'm so excited that you said yes to this invitation, because I know that we've been working together for, it's been at least 3 years now, I believe,
yeah.
Right?
So you, years even maybe?
Yeah, it's something like that. And it's time does fly. But you have impacted me as a person and impacted my business. You used to mentor me. You still mentor me, you know, and you've given just most very recently, I joined a mastermind group that you launched, and in just 4 weeks, I learned so much, and it took me to the next level. And that's the gift, one of the gifts that you bring to the world. So thank you for being here today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Well, I'm thrilled to be here. And you know, that's the power of this work when we collaborate together, is that, you know, in short amounts of time, you know, we don't need to wait 20 years to be successful or to take our business to the next step. If we are willing to let go of that, it needs to be a long time, and open to the idea that we can transform things almost instantaneously.
Yeah, that's true. So let's just kind of start from the beginning, right? So tell us tell us about you. What's your story?
Yeah, my story. Well, I love
that's a very general question, right?
I know. Like, what's my story? What's my scoop? Well, you know, I'm a Detroit native, and as you rightly said, I'm a citizen of the world. You know, I grew up in Detroit. I went to high school in a small town in the middle of Michigan, and then I lived in Chicago. I lived in Spain, Brazil, LA, New York, California. I mean, you know, across the world. And I'm somebody who, throughout my entire life, has been really curious. Meaning, what can I learn from this experience and what can we create here? Those are two questions that have driven me for quite some time. And you know, until about 7 years ago, my professional trajectory was relatively traditional in the sense that I worked with more traditional organizations. I had spent most of my career in some way, shape, or form recruiting, scouting, hiring, finding talent all over the world. I ran global recruiting for Anheuser-Busch InBev, which is, you know, the big global beer company, and then for Dow Jones and the Wall Street Journal. And I chose to leave the corporate world and start my entrepreneurial journey 7 years ago for the fundamental reason that I was tired of meeting people who were interesting and fabulous and wonderful and creative, but not particularly engaged in the work that they were doing. And that was what caused me to leave the corporate world 7 years ago. And here I am 7 years later, in the midst of this entrepreneurial journey that just keeps getting more exciting.
Tell us a little bit more about what triggered that decision for you to leave the corporate world with a nice cushiony paycheck. And I mean, right, because that's like the first thing we think about, my paycheck and how do I pay my bills, with just job security to, you know, embark in a journey of being an entrepreneur. And what triggered it? And the second part of that question is like, what convinced you to take that step?
Yeah. Well, what triggered it? So there is the, you know, of the thousands of interviews that I had done, there really was this sense of meeting so many people who were not particularly engaged in the work that they were doing. And I was looking into the data behind it, and it turns out, you know, that in the US, perennially over the last couple of decades, you know, 60 to 70% of people are disengaged or highly disengaged at work. And that number aggregates up to more than 85% globally. And for me, it's like,
wow.
I know, it's a lot of unhappy people, which is bonkers to me. And especially, you know, in thinking about it and reflecting on it, since most of us spend more than half of our waking hours doing work or work-related activity, if we aren't thriving in this space of what work is, I think we're kidding ourselves that we have a wholly fulfilled life. So that's what I was really, you know, on that hand, what I was really focused on. But, you know, the spark for it, or the beginning of the spark for it, was really me sitting in my office. You know, we were right on Sixth Avenue in New York. And so looking out on a rainy day, and that question running through my head, is this all there is? Now, is this really what you were meant to do? Is this all there is? And I started reading books, The Happiness Project by Gretchen Rubin, The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron, What Color is Your Parachute? I began to really do some self-soul searching, and I realized within about 4 months of that proactive search that it was time for me to leave. I didn't know exactly yet what was going to be waiting for me, but I knew, like I know my name, that I needed to make the choice to leave.
Wow. Wow. And so then when you made that decision and you're like, all right, you know, because first it's the excitement, right? Like, yes, I'm going to do it. Yeah, let's do it. Take the step. And then you're like, oh, what did I just do? Right. So were you hit by that?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's, you know, there was, as you rightly said, there, of course, there was the paycheck component of it and the security that comes with that. But then there was also a lot sort of circulating around me of this, like, are you going to waste your education? I had spent a lot of time and money going to school. Are you going to waste your education? You know, it's very easy to hang a hat on a corporate title at a big organization. So there's a lot of ego unwinding around this notion of you are not who you are is not what you do. And you know, and so getting away from those things, or being able to see where my own needs or necessities were wrapped up in that. And again, just going back to what that choice between, like, how long do I want to keep living a life that makes other people happy versus the life that will be truly fulfilling for me?
So then you at that point, realized that you were one of those 85% of people that were not happy in their job, right? And were willing. Well, I mean, but the thing is like there are so many people that are unhappy but are not willing to do something about it, right? And you decided to take that step.
Yeah, and I think there's also a danger zone. Like, I call it a danger zone. It's like the lukewarm zone. So when I work with people now and them beginning to embark on creating, you know, a next step for themselves, like on a scale of 0 to 10, 0 being, I hate my life, this is the worst experience I could ever be having, and 10 being, oh my gosh, I'm floating on the clouds, nirvana. If wherever you are currently is around a 6 or a 7, that's the danger zone, because you're not miserable, but it's not, and you aren't on cloud 9, but you know, you can keep convincing yourself that it's okay. Whatever yeah. you are and whatever you do, like, it's fine for now. Well, fine for now all of a sudden becomes 10, 20, 30 years. And, you know, something that I heard from Keith Cunningham, who's an accountant and entrepreneur.
Oh my God. That guy, I mean, this guy is amazing.
He's amazing.
And so funny too.
I know. I swear to you, if I had him as my accounting professor, I would have become an accountant in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he said, and I don't remember who originally said it, but essentially, like, his version of hell would be getting to the end of his life and meeting the person who he could have become.
Oof.
And that for me, that's really, you know, the answer, like, do you go for it?
That is profound.
Yeah. Right. And so looking back, or thinking about myself looking back, would I be thrilled with who I have become? You know, or if you're sitting there at that 6 or 7, if you get to the end of your life, will you look back and be like, wow, I really did it? Or are you going to be like, oh, I didn't take the chances when I should have or could have? Yeah.
Wow. That's super profound. And it's really like it's a challenge, right? For all of us. It is both a challenge in a way that it's difficult, but challenge in a way that you're challenging us. And he's, by saying that, it's, you got to challenge yourself to be brave enough to do what you need to do to be happy. And the happiness, that happiness from that self-actualization, right? If you remember the Maslow's pyramid of yeah. basic human needs, it's at the very top, right? So it's not on the same level or has the same value as, you know, for instance, being able to breathe or having food or shelter over, you know, roof over our heads, but it is equally important in a way that if you're not meeting that basic need, you are going to, something in your psyche, physically or emotionally or mentally, is going to be affected.
Yes. And we actually, I was just looking at some data recently, but we actually, if we exist in a world where our opportunities continue to be limited and limited and limited, our scope of what we think is possible actually diminishes as well. And so I find that a part of the work that I do for people, not for people, but with people, to help them realize for their own selves, it's a remembering of, you know, it's that soft voice inside your heart or inside your head that's saying, you know, that's like calling you to that great adventure that life can be for each and every one of us.
Oh, that's so inspiring. What can I go and change in my life right now to, you know, to be happier?
That's so, it can be a constant invitation. You know, and sometimes you'll discover that you don't need or want to change anything, but there's, you know, there's a constant, it's like, am I really clear that I'm having a most amazing experience right now?
Yeah, I just absolutely love it. Thank you for sharing that, Alicia. Let's talk a little bit about the future. I'm going to kind of rewind back to, like, what you've been doing, your work for the last 2 years, which has been the future of work, the future of now. Can we talk about that for a tiny second? And I know that a tiny second is yeah. doesn't even begin to cover it, but the future of work and how, you know, even before COVID, you know, everything was changing and how we need to be ready for that.
Yes. So absolutely. The future of work, right? I began my whole research into what that is, what that can be. When I began to see all kinds of data in the market, right? And that had me wondering, what are we going to do with all the people? And specifically when I say that, I mean the impact of technology in work and our working world, and the fact that that technology will be taking over 47% of jobs in the US. Now that's not all doom and gloom, because 65% of the jobs that will exist have not been created yet. That said, there's going to be massive shifts in that. So in January of 2017, I put everything that I own into storage, except for what fits into a carry-on suitcase, to go and search for answers to the question, how might we empower success in the face of great and massive uncertainty? And I did that by pushing my own life to an extreme of uncertainty, by learning about the technologies that are creating the impact, and by learning from people who are masters at managing change, all again to come up with answers to that question to help companies resolve and solve for the challenges that they have and help individuals find pathways to thriving in the face of all of this.
Wow. Wow. I absolutely love how, you saw it a few years ago and you were able to connect yourself with other people in the world and to develop this, you know, image, this vision that you had that things are going to change and, you know, people need to be ready, and we're nowhere, you know, close to being ready. This was a few years ago. Now things have evolved since then and you've traveled the world sharing this message. I want to talk a little bit about that vision, right? Because that vision is not something that is easy to tap into. Like, did you always have this, or how, because you're seeing and I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, like what's your vision for what's happening now, but how did you tap into that? Did you always have that in your heart?
Yeah. Well, it came like, I'm a very faithful person. And, I was at a business conference, and it was actually a Tony Robbins event, a business mastery event, and saw, I know, right?
I just went to that.
I know you did. I know. So Peter Diamandis, who is one of the world's foremost futurists, gets up on stage and he starts talking about self-driving trucks and autonomous vehicles and what this represents for innovation and disruption in industry and logistics and distribution, basically everything in the entire world as we know it. And on the one hand, because I'm a very future-focused person, I was extremely excited. And almost instantaneously came the question in my head, but what are we going to do with all the people? Because I'm from Detroit, and although there are many reasons for the city's, you know, various ascensions and declines and renaissances, one of them is that we didn't think preemptively about the impact of technology and work in our working world. So this hit me right close to home. And I'm wondering if, because truck driving is the most popular job in more than 25 states in the US, and 26 states. And so what happens if the truck drivers lose their jobs, and then the gas stations and the hotels and the diners and all the industries that grow up around this? What are we going to do with all the people? And I began to imagine what happens if what happened in Detroit occurs at scale around the world. What happens? And so that's why that's why I decided to go and embark on this journey. It was really kind of a calling, but this need or this knowing that we've got to figure this out, you know, so that people can empower, again, always going, for me, it's always going back to people and people empowering themselves, going back to that space of how might people empower themselves no matter what's happening in the world, you know, how might people empower themselves to not make the mistakes that we've made around the world in the past, and in fact, create a better world than the one we were living in before.
Wow. And then you took that as your personal mission to go and share that message in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, I really did. And, and it has brought, like, what a gift, you know, like so many of these kinds of journeys, and you're an entrepreneur too. So we don't you don't know really what the journey is going to be like until you embark on it. And, you know, the gift of first and foremost being able to share this message with people so that when disruption occurs, we don't get hit. We might get hit by fear, but that fear doesn't paralyze us. And rather we take the chance, we channel that fear and we channel that disruption into opportunities that just look different than the things that we were used to. And, you know, and now I get to travel, well, not so much travel now, but go all over the world and virtually, you know, help companies, help governments, help educational institutions, help fellow entrepreneurs and students figure out, you know, how they're going to carve their own paths in the face of all of this great change.
Right. And so when you tie that to what has happened in the last few months with the pandemic, part of it has come much sooner than we expected it.
Yes. So much of what happened accelerated quickly. So the pandemic, I like to look at it like, you know, two different weather phenomena. The pandemic hit like a lightning bolt. It was swift. It was shocking. It was fast and everything changed. The virus is spreading, the economic lockdown, and now we're living through the subsequent impact of that occurrence. But that didn't stop the tsunami of technological change that's still here. It's here and now, in fact, it is accelerating.
It did. Yes, I agree with you.
You know, even remote work or work from home, the robotization of jobs, especially low-skilled jobs. But again, the taking over of current jobs by robots, it's not all doom and gloom because as many or more new jobs are going to be created. However, there will be a gap between what people did and what people will be doing. And so helping bridge that gap is a place where I'm spending a lot of time right now.
And that's kind of what we have noticed in my industry, which is education. So we do vocational training. And so people are gravitating back to the trades. You know, the hundreds of thousands of people that were left jobless, that were in the hospitality industry, are now looking for a new trade, a new way to make a life. So people are still, we're kind of in this process right now where people are still coming out of limbo or might still find themselves in limbo, but are going to eventually, very soon, hopefully, start to find a new way of doing things. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely. And that's, you know, especially for people who have been in industries that have been adversely impacted by the pandemic, like hospitality. Now, this is one of those moments where, you know, you may have built a career and a life around being successful in a certain kind of industry. And one reaction to what's occurring in the big change in the world is to, you know, sort of hold on and hope that things will go back to the way they were. But I don't think the world is going to go back to the way it was. It's going to be impossible to put humanity back in the box that we were in before this all started. And so, you know, there is an unhooking of what we were hoping would happen and a shifting over into being open to how might we create something new out of this. And, you know, we shift away from a career model that I called a ladder model where, you know, it's one track, one focus, and we start at the beginning, we end at the end, and it's all within one specific area.
Right.
First, what I call a mosaic career, where each of us takes a few steps back and says, okay, you know, what do I want to create? How do I want to use my life? What kind of impact do I want to have? And we align our skills, resources, and talents behind expressing that thing or those things and building a mosaic or tapestry of who we are and what we create in the world.
Unfortunately, ran out of time, but I want to give you an opportunity to share any additional insights or wisdom with our audience today.
Yes, absolutely. So, well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on the show. It is always such a pleasure and honor to connect with you. And the one thing that I would leave with people is we're going to continue to see a lot of disruption. And each of us, each and every one of us has a choice in the face of it. We can be captives to the circumstance and wonder, why is this happening? Why is this happening to us? Or we can shift our focus and thinking to a protagonist role and really the captains of our own destiny and ask ourselves, given that we're here, no matter what here looks like, given that we're here, what do we want to create? And then come together in the world to build that.
Oh, that's beautiful. And I want to also add, like Tony Robbins always says, you know, don't look at things, don't ask the question, why is this happening to me? But more make a statement, this is happening for me, right?
Yes.
So what's the lesson there?
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Elaysha, for sharing of yourself to our audience and to the world. If anybody wants to get in contact with you, how can they do that?
Yes, absolutely. They can reach me at my website, which is elayshaabate.com. You can follow me on LinkedIn and on Instagram. I'm always sharing nuggets of strategy to help individuals and businesses thrive in the face of all of this change.
That's wonderful. So elayshaabate.com, or follow her on social media. She is always doing live videos, and I learned so much from them. I'm always watching. So thanks again for being here with us today. And thank you for listening to Discover Your Empowered Woman. I also want to thank our sponsor, Academy for Caregiving Excellence, for making it possible for us to be here today. For more information on that, visit our website, academyforcaregiving.com. And thank you to you, woman, for investing your time and effort in yourself. Join us next week on Discover Your Empowered Woman. I'm your host, Laura Oldacre. Thank you for joining us. Until next time.